Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Cool. We all doing okay this morning? Yeah. Hear me all right? Great. Took my earrings off this time. If you remember last time, I need to take them off quicker. Great, it's so good to be here. It's such a privilege to open the Word of God. It really is. And I'm very thankful for our senior pastors, Andy and Becky. And they've known me since I was really young. And I just want to honour them for the fact they've always been there for me. They've always supported me and they've always encouraged me. And I would not be here and I wouldn't be the same person I am today if it wasn't for them. So I'm very thankful for them in my life. So thank you both, honestly. It's amazing. Like, it's so good. And I love bringing the Word of God because God spoke to me and I want to share the Word of God. So yeah, my name is Naomi, along with my husband, James. We run the youth and young adults in the church. It's a privilege to do that. If you're of the age 11 to 13, you want to know what's going on for you, please come and see myself at the end. Obviously, James is at the fun day today, or come and see us anytime, or pop us an email. So welcome. We'll go out for coffee, have a chat. We'd love to tell you what's going on in the life of the youth and young adults in the church. So this morning, what I want to do is, first of all, I want to ask us a question. I wonder if you ever complain. Do you ever complain? Are you ever ungrateful this morning? I wonder if we could not have the title slide up just yet, just so you know. I wonder if you do. Anyone ever complained? No? Yeah? Okay. Anyone ever been ungrateful? Yeah. Well, if you knew me, if you knew my name is Naomi. I don't know if you knew about my name, but my name backwards is I Moan. Did you know that? Yeah? Right. And if you know me, you know I can moan. I can complain. I would say I complain quite well, actually. And especially if you've been out for coffee with me or if you've been out for food with me, especially Rose and Amy, they're shaking their heads right now, you will know that if it's not right, I'll say something. Because you know when you pay for something, I feel like I should get good quality stuff, yeah? So if I pay £3.60 for my venti chai latte with no water at Starbucks, and it comes, oh, and soya milk as well, and if it comes with dairy in it, and if it comes with water in it, I'm not going to be happy. You know what I mean? Like, £3.60, that is. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not trying to advertise Starbucks. They do a great job. I get to know them quite well. I will happily say something, obviously graciously, lovingly, obviously always very Christian-like. Again, if you know my Starbucks story, I'll tell you another time, I won't tell you again today, then you'll know that's not always true. But we all complain, don't we? We all have something to say. Maybe even this morning as you got up, we looked outside, as we all do. We look at the weather, don't we? Love looking at the weather. And it can be, like today, it looked a bit like, oh, it's cloudy. Oh no, don't know what to wear. And then you get to your wardrobe and you're like, I have no clothes to wear. Anyone ever do that? Yeah, I do that a lot, even though I have a wardrobe full of them. Then we go to the fridge to get the milk out for our cup of tea or coffee in the morning, it's gone off. And then we're like, oh, great. Or the kids have took the breakfast that you wanted to have. I don't know. You know, you've got something to say. You've got something to say about it. Yeah, we all complain at times, right? We've always got something to complain about. And in a world, which is funny, in a world that we've got so much, in this country, we have a lot. We have been given a lot. You know, if we had food on our tables, then we're rich. If we have, if we have a car, then we're rich. Not necessarily like rich in terms of money, but we've got a lot. And I actually heard a fact recently that said, you know, if you've got a fridge, freezer, and a microwave in your kitchen, then you're the 10% top most richest people in the world. Which I thought, wow, that's like. We take for granted the small things that we have, don't we, at times? And I know I've been really challenged on taking things for granted. Now, I've got a story for you about a time that I was particularly ungrateful. Now, my parents aren't here this morning. It would be funny if they were, to be honest, but they know this story. When I was growing up as a teenager, again, if you knew me, then I was a very fiery character. I still can be at times, but I was often quite ungrateful for things, especially what my parents would give me. They would never give me enough money. I would never have enough clothes. I was always late and it was always their fault. And I was, you know, I was just quite very ungrateful. They always had to give me lifts everywhere and I probably never said thank you. But now I'm so grateful for my parents. They're actually in church. They're not here today, but they are in this church and I'm very grateful for them in my life so much more now than I probably ever have been because I see, you know, where they've brought me to. But there was this one time where I got given some gifts. Now, when you get given gifts, isn't it great? You're either going to love them or you're not really going to like them. And there was this one time, just a few years ago for my birthday, my mum had given James some gifts to give me because it's when we lived at Mattersea Bible College at university. And so I was opening my presents. My birthday, by the way, is September the 27th. It's very soon. One day after Andy's. Yes, it is his 40th birthday this year, but it's my 25th. I think that's quite important as well, you know? Oh, sorry, telling everyone age. But yeah, so mine's a September runaway. Boom. Yeah, so my birthday a few years ago, got these gifts. I was opening them up. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, nice, really good, really nice, really nice. And then one came, and I opened it up, and I did that thing like, oh, yeah, I love it. But I really didn't love it. And what this gift was, it was a necklace. It was a necklace that my mum had got me, and it was one of them where I was like, it wasn't really my style. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you get given something, it's not really your style. Anyway, I got given this necklace, and I just kind of left it in my room, in its wrapper, in the packaging, for quite a while. And at the time, me and James, we came back to Hina at the weekends, and we both worked in a care home. James was a carer, and I was an activities coordinator. So I did lots of activities and fundraising for the care home, and I had an event. I had a fair to run and we had to raise money. To raise money, we did a raffle. You know, they're very popular, aren't they? You get like quite a lot of money through doing them. So we did that to raise money for the care home. And obviously there were some prizes that I had to donate. I had to find all the prizes. And one of them was my necklace. I thought, well, I'm not going to wear it. Someone else will benefit from it. It'll be a good prize. So I gave quite a few items, brand new items, for this raffle and for the prizes. Me and James worked at this care home. The day came and a resident, she won and she came over to choose and she chose the necklace. It's like, great. She loved it. She put it on straight away. She wore it every single day. But what I failed to mention here is that my mum was the deputy manager of the care home. Okay? So it wasn't just me and James working at this care home. My mum, who bought me the necklace, was also working at the care home. And she saw that this resident, I won't obviously say her name, but she saw this resident had a necklace on the same as what she'd bought for me. And she came home one day and she said, Naomi, that necklace that this resident was wearing, really similar to the one I bought you, wasn't it? I was like, yeah, really similar, really, really similar, yeah. I didn't say anything. This was only a few years ago, I didn't say anything. A few weeks go by, me and James were going on a date night. It's a Saturday night. It's a great date night. Woo. And we were going on this date night, and my mum said to me, why don't you wear that necklace that I bought you? Because I think I was saying I didn't have any jewellery there. I think it was all at Mattersea where I lived. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can't. And she was like, oh, it's okay. I think I know that you gave it away as a raffle prize, didn't you? I was like, oh, busted. Do you know what I mean? And I was ungrateful for that necklace that my mum bought me. But there's many other times I could tell you when I have at times been ungrateful. But this morning, I'm not just talking about us being ungrateful for gifts and for things that we don't particularly like. We can all complain and moan about some things in life. But at times, we really can be ungrateful, can't we? We can be ungrateful for the things we've got. I know I can be, and I've been really challenged. God has really challenged me on this. You know, on average, we complain 30 times a day. Now, I guarantee you, I'd probably be up to 60. I can tell you that. I'm sure maybe you're one of them people that are like, yeah, I'd probably do more than that. But I read in a blog, I read this about complaining. It says, what's wrong with complaining? Research shows that when we listen to complaints of any kind, we get demoralized. And that includes our own complaints. Listening to complaints starts our minds on a cycle of negative thinking, which intensifies our fight or flight wiring. And when others, including our children, listen to our complaints, it doesn't help them change. It reinforces those feelings of, I'm not good enough, and life isn't good enough. That's challenging, isn't it? The world is saying that we, you know, we need to stop complaining. And God's really challenged me on this. And this is why this morning I want to challenge us, as I've been challenged, like God has challenged me, I pray God will challenge us, that we need to live with an attitude of gratitude. And that's my title this morning, Living with an Attitude of Gratitude. So I'm sure that will come up here. But before I go any further, I would love, let's just pray and let's just give this message to God. God, I pray for this word this morning. I thank you that you've challenged me on this word. And I pray that you would challenge all of us here this morning. And I pray we'd have open hearts and open ears to listen to what you have to say to us. And I want to listen to what you have to say to me for everyone this morning, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it stands strong and that your word never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. So yeah, let's pray that God will speak to us this morning. So an attitude of gratitude. This morning I want to look at some people in the Bible that were quite ungrateful. Now, there was often a lot of people in the Bible that were quite ungrateful, especially for the things that God had given us. But there's a particular group of people that I think of when I think of ungrateful people in the Bible. And they are the Israelites. So in the Old Testament, the Israelites were God's people. And God had done a lot for them. God had brought them out of slavery. The Israelites, they'd been in slavery for 430 years. You may be familiar with the story, you may not be. You may have read it in the Bible, you may have watched The Prince of Egypt. I'm not sure, you may be familiar in some way. But the Israelites, they were God's people. And God loved his people, and God so much so that he brought them out of slavery. They'd been enslaved for, like I said, 430 years. They'd been through a really bad time, but God promised them he was going to bring them out, and God did. He brought up Moses. Moses was a great leader, was a great man of God, and Moses brought his people, God's people, out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness. And so the Israelites are in the wilderness, and they're like, and God says, you're going to get to a promised land. I'm going to take you to the promised land. So Moses, that was his job. He was to take the people to the promised land. And we have Moses and Aaron, who are leaders of the Israelites at this time, as we look in Numbers. And what happened is just before, we're going to read Numbers 14, 1 to 12, if you want to turn there. But I'll just give you a little bit of context. Just before this, what had happened is the Israelites were about to get to the promised land. They're about to go there. But before they go there, Moses and Aaron say, let's send some people out just to scope out the land. Let's see if it is really flowing with milk and honey as God promises us. Let's see like how it is, what the people like, what's it going to be like, and let's just get the gist of what's it going to be. So these 12 spies get sent out. The 12 spies are 12 people from the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, I'm trying to give you a bit of context here. And what happened is the 12 spies went to the land, what was the promised land. They went there, they went to scope it out, and they were like, okay, it's flowing with milk and honey. Yep, there's fruit. It's going to be really great for us. But the people that live there, they're powerful people. They're like giants. They're people that are like, you know, I don't know if we can like go and conquer this land, because these people, they seem a bit scary. So what happened is the 12 spies came back, and 10 of them reported that actually, yeah, it is flowing with milk and honey. It's all what God said. But the people there, I'm not sure. I think we're a bit weak. We can't deal with them people. They doubted what God had promised them. They doubted that they were going to be able to go and conquer this land. And so then what we do is we lift off from here in Numbers 14, 1 to 12. It says this. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the swords? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, never say that right, sorry if I don't, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid. Joshua and Caleb, they were faithful. They knew. They were like, no, God has promised us this land. We are going to go. Despite what it looks like, despite these people, we are going to go because God has promised us. You know, with him, we do not need to be afraid. But these other spies, they were doubting. They were like, no. They weren't sure. You know, even the Israelites were like, let's go back to Egypt. Why would they want to go back to Egypt? They're in this time, they're in slavery, you know, it wasn't good. They were like having to work long hours. They weren't getting much food. They're in a really bad situation. They were getting whipped. They were in massive suffering. But yet they were like, oh no, maybe we should just go back. It's almost like they'd forgot what God had brought them out of. And how many times do we do that? We can forget what God has done in our lives. We can forget that, can't we? We know when things aren't going quite right in our lives, something's come up because yeah, our lives aren't perfect. You know, we go through situations. Yeah, we can forget what God has done. Like the Israelite people, they just forgot suddenly almost what God had brought them out of. And they were like, yeah, let's just go back. It's like they'd forgot how bad it was. Just because they were like, oh, it sounds a bit scary. Not too sure. It's not quite the easy journey, the promised land we thought God was going to give us. You know, and they doubted. But I love that Caleb and Joshua didn't. They were faithful. But as a result of the Israelite people doubting, as a result of that, what happened is they delayed the promises of God, because God then said, well, do you know what then? You're going to be in this wilderness for 40 more years. And some of them didn't make it. The 10 spies, they didn't make it to the promised land. A lot of them Israelites that were complaining and groaning, they didn't make it. And this morning, church, I don't want us to be people that don't make God's promises because of our grumbling and complaining. I don't want to be a person that lives with so much ingratitude that I don't make what God has for me. You know, because God has got great promises for every single one of our lives. And I'm going to come to the fact that, yes, we have the cross and Jesus died on a cross for us, but I want us to be people that live with an attitude of gratitude to God, because we've got so much to be thankful for God. And so I want us to learn from the Israelites here. I want us to learn some things that God has really spoken to me about. So is that okay this morning? Yeah? So we need to be people of gratitude. You know, it's actually a command to give thanks to God. The Bible so many times says, give thanks to God because he is good. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, even today, we might think that was a long time ago. We need to give thanks more than ever today. In a society that says no, you know, actually God says yes, that we can do this life because we've got God on our side. And so how many times are we ungrateful? We are so much sometimes. We are so ungrateful sometimes. I know I am so ungrateful sometimes. But let's live with an attitude of gratitude. So do we want to live with an attitude of gratitude this morning? Yeah, I want to go into my tomorrow living with gratitude in my heart. Even when I leave this place, I want to go living with that. So I believe that God has spoken to me, and I believe that we need to take three steps in order to live with an attitude of gratitude and learn from the Israelites. So the first thing I want us to do this morning is we should look up to God every day. I want to be a person that looks to God every day. The Israelites, I would say they'd failed to remind themselves of what God had done. And in Numbers, we see it so many times. We see in the book of Numbers how ungrateful they were. They were ungrateful when they didn't have much food. They were doubting God. And God said to Moses, consistently remind your people that I am the Lord, their God, who brought them out of Egypt, brought them out of slavery. God has brought us out of so much this morning. He has brought us out of so much. And I'm going to look at what God has brought us out of this morning. So the people of Israel had like forgotten what God had done, but let's not be people that forget what God has done in our lives. You may be sat here and hear that title and be like, well, do you know what? There's some stuff going on that I don't know if I can be thankful to God. Well, I want to tell you this morning, what has God already done for you? Well, God has already created us. We are God's children. That was mentioned just a few moments ago. Becky shared a word and, you know, we are God's children. Our identity is in God this morning. God created this world. God loves his creation. He loves me and he loves you. And if you've never heard that before, I really truly believe this church and myself, we believe that God loves you with an everlasting love, a love that will last forever. So if you didn't know what you could be thankful to God for this morning, you could be thankful that he is a God that loves you so much this morning. Another reason you can be thankful to God is because God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on a cross for you and for me. Now, the Israelites, they didn't have that. They lived in a different covenant. You know, they had God. They didn't have Jesus. We now have Jesus who died on a cross for me and for you. Wow, how powerful is that? That God said, you know, he loves us so much that the sin in our hearts, he wants to forgive. He forgives us for any wrongdoing that we've done. He loves you and me. And I can live in freedom this morning, free of my sin, free of any pain, free of guilt. Why? Because of the cross. Because God, Jesus put everything on him. And he said, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they have done. And that's the gospel, church. That's what we believe. And sometimes we need to come back to reminding ourselves of what do we believe? Well, I believe in a God that created me. I believe in a God that sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross for me and for you. That's what I believe this morning. So if anything, I can be thankful that God loves us. So if you didn't know what you could be thankful for, I want you to know the cross has happened, creation has happened, the cross has happened, it's all happened, and we believe that. And so you can choose to believe that this morning and thank God for the cross. Another thing we can thank God for is that he has got great plans for me and for you. God has. It says in the word that he's got good plans for us. He has, no matter what we're going through, despite our circumstance, he has got good plans for you. I truly believe that and I know that. So how can I thank God? Well, I can thank God and believe, even my circumstance may not see it right now, God has got good plans for me. So you need to remind yourself sometimes. I need to remind myself daily, what has God done for me? So there are three things that I've kind of picked out, but also I want you to think personally for you, what has God done for you? You know, we're in church. Some of you have been here in church for many years. Some of you have been Christians for a long time. Surely there's things in your life God has done for you. Maybe you need to be reminded this morning of the time where you had no friends and God brought some friends to you. Maybe you need to be reminded this morning of that time you didn't think you could pay your rent or your mortgage, but God provided for you. Remind yourself this morning that you've been faithful to God and God is faithful to you and he has provided for you. Maybe there's that time that you had a broken heart, but God made it whole again. Maybe there's a time where you didn't have a church community or you weren't happy in life and you walked into New Horizon Church and you found your church community and God has blessed you with it. Maybe you need to thank God for the church again. Maybe you need to thank God for that first time you became a Christian and remind yourself how you felt then. You know, because sometimes we forget in the moments of things going wrong or we're not feeling great, that we can forget how good God was then. You need to remind yourself. It's like the Israelites, they need to remind themselves, what did God bring them out of? He brought them out of suffering. He brought them out of hardship. God can bring you out of that today as well. And you need to remind yourself, because of the cross, because of what Jesus has done for you, because he wants us to live in freedom, he wants us to live a good life, you can live in that freedom this morning. How beautiful is that? Because that's our God that we follow. That's the God that that's the God I love. That's the God I live for. You know, God has got great things for our lives. So we need to remind ourselves, we need to thank God. So I want you to think right now, personally for you, what do you thank God for? Is it your house? What is it? I want you to think, I'm going to pause for a few moments and I want you to think, what are you thankful for? I know for me, I am so thankful for what I get to do. For me, I'm so thankful that at 24, I'm married and I'm a homeowner. It doesn't make sense because, you know, in the world's eyes, it doesn't make sense that I can do what I can do. But because of God, he's provided for me. Wow. And I'm like, wow, God is so good. Like, I can thank God for that daily. And maybe your thank yous don't look the same as my thank yous, but what is it that you're thankful to God for? So hopefully you've got that in your minds right now. And if you have, what I want you to do is if you're comfortable, just share that one thing that you're thankful for with the person next to you or around you. Share it now. Just give you a couple of minutes. Go. Great. So are we thankful to God for something? Yeah. Amazing. That's good. So now we're thinking about, we're thankful. We're looking with an attitude of gratitude. It's good. So number one was look to God. Number two is look at your heart. I really feel that at times we need to give our hearts a bit of a check. Because if we're people that moan and groan a lot or complain at times, which we've all admitted that we do sometimes, maybe sometimes think, where is that coming from? I really think something we need to look at, where is that coming from? Where was that attitude coming from? Or where was that complaint coming from? Was it coming from something a bit deeper than actually what's going on around you? Because sometimes there's things going on in our hearts that we need to address, church. Now the Israelites, they'd been through a lot. They were tired, they were fed up. To be honest, it's no wonder they were kind of doubting things because of what they'd been through. How my perspective on that is that their hearts were probably a bit hardened. They were probably a bit like, oh, it's really hard to trust when we're getting these bad reports. It's really hard to trust God right now. It's really hard because of what I've been through. And sometimes because of what we've been through in life or what we're going through, it's really hard to trust God. It's really hard because of what we've been through and it can harden our hearts. But you know, we need to deal with the issues that are in our heart, church. Now, that's not an easy thing. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to you because it's not easy. You know, you'd be like, well, God was faithful then, but what about now? It's hard to deal with the things in our hearts, but we need to deal with it. Have you got bitterness in your heart because you haven't forgiven someone? Have you got pain? Have you got hurt? Are you angry? Because all them feelings are okay, but how do you deal with that? If we're going to be Christians and live with an attitude of gratitude, then we need to deal with them things. And I'm not up here saying that's easy, it's not, but we need to deal with it. The Israelites needed to deal with it. And God was quite harsh with them because he knew he needed to deal with them. And sometimes we need to be challenged to deal with the things in our hearts. And that challenges me so much. You know, the devil, he wants you to live with things going around in your mind that you've been through. The devil, he wants you to live with that anger. He wants you to live with that pain. He wants you to live the lies, tells you you're not good enough. But God doesn't want you to live with that. And God will set you free from the things that are going on in your heart. He will. It may take time. It may take talking to people. It may take counseling. It may take them things, and that's okay, but start to deal with it, church. If we're going to live with an attitude of gratitude, I can look to God, I can thank him despite my circumstance, despite what I'm going through, and I can say, God is with me. I'm going to get through this, God. I need to give you my issues. I need to give you the things that are in my heart. We need to give them to God, church. We need to. We need to give them to God. You know, the Bible, it says, you will even be, in Colossians 1:12, it says, you will even be able to thank God in the midst of pain and distress because you are privileged to share the lot of those who are living in the light. If you're privileged to know God, even in the midst of your pain, we need to praise, we need to thank God because we need to look up to God. Remember, he's brought us out of slavery, church. He's brought us out of slavery. Now, that's difficult. It's not easy, but we need to deal with the things in our hearts. You know what's in your heart. I don't. God does. He sees your heart, but he looks at our heart. He looks at our motive. So how are we dealing with that, church? Are we dealing with what's in our hearts? How do we do that? Talk to people. Billy Graham, I got a quote from Billy Graham. I was reading a preach he wrote on thankfulness a few weeks ago. And he says this, nothing turns us into bitter, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly than an ungrateful heart. And nothing will do more to restore contentment and the joy of our salvation than a true spirit of thankfulness. So let's be thankful. Yeah, look to God, look at your heart. And now what I want to say is we need to look towards the future. So we've looked up, we look at God, we've looked in our hearts, and now we're looking towards the future. The Israelites, again, it's like they'd forgotten that God had said, I've promised you a land. I have promised you. And that's why some of them didn't make it, because it's like they'd forgotten it. But then those that did, God did promise them a land flowing of milk and honey. And they did get to the promised land eventually. But they did doubt, and the spies were like negative about it, you know, because it can be easy to look at your circumstance and forget that God has promised you a future. So we need to look ahead. God has promised us a future. You know, we need to live with an attitude that says, okay, I've been through this, but I see what God has done, and now I need to look towards the future. So whatever is going on in around you, you know, you need to look towards the future, church, whatever it is. Because I know that I'm not in your lives, but God is in your life. And he says, look to me, deal with the things in your heart, and I have a hope and a future for you. He does. He has a call. He has a promise over every single one of our lives. Your promises that God's got for you are different to my promises, and that's okay. But God wants us to have an attitude of gratitude. He wants us to look to him and say, okay, despite what's going on here, despite what I'm going through, despite what my bank balance says, despite what my friends say, despite what, you know, the devil's trying to say or what I've been through in the past, you know, but I can thank God always in all circumstances because he's promised me a future. And if you don't know what God's promised you, I've got a few things written down here. And I've said a few things already, so don't want to repeat myself too much, but he has great plans for you, church. He will provide for you. He will. It may take time. It will look different to how he provides for me and you, but he will. He will, and he has already set you free from sin. Ask for forgiveness. He set you free. He wants you to live in freedom. And if you believe in God and you love him, you will have an eternity with him. They are just some promises that God already has over your life. So if you didn't know what God's got for your life, he's got them things, church. And I truly believe it, and I know it, and I pray that we live by it. So if we're going to have an attitude of gratitude, we need to remind ourselves of the promises that God has got. You know, I want to be a person that lives with gratitude because of everything God has done for me, but everything he's going to do. I don't want to delay my promises. The Israelites, they were negative. They moaned and they groaned, and that delayed the promises. Don't sit and moan and groan. You know, sometimes we can be victims and we can say, yeah, but what about me? What about me? And there's a time to talk. There is a time to talk, but there's a time to sometimes say, do you know what? God, you tell me you break every chain in my life. So God, will you do it? God, I thank you that you are good always. You are always good no matter what I'm going through. You are good. And you need to deal with them situations. But do you know what? We don't delay your promises by complaining. Don't delay them by having a life of ingratitude. Let's come to God with thanksgiving always. You know, I have this saying that when I pray, I do thank you, sorry, and prayer. It's always been ingrained in me from when I was young. Come to God with thanks always. Why? Because God is always good. Put God in his rightful place, church. If we put God in his rightful place, then, you know, that's the best way we can live. Then we will live and we will fulfill the promises he has for us. So, you know, do you want to fulfill the promises God's got for you? then let's live with an attitude of gratitude, church. Now, I need to come to an application. I'm looking at the time. But my application are these things. I said, number one, look to God. So pray. Speak to Him. Another thing we need to do is we need to worship Jesus. We need to worship Him. Because do you know what worship does? Do you know why we worship? It takes the focus off what we're saying and our feelings. Because we can't live with our feelings, church. We need to live with everything that God says. And so worship, what it does is it says, okay, this isn't about me, God. This is all about You. My life is about You. And God, I give You my life and I thank You for the cross. I thank You that You forgive me. That's what worship does. David in the Psalms says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Paul wrote, be thankful always. Paul, a man persecuted for his belief, a man that, you know, was in prison, he was abandoned, he was stripped, but yet he loved God so much, he was always thankful. In Paul's letters, you can read time and time again, he says, thank you to God, always. A man of gratitude. Look at your heart, I said. What do you need to deal with in your heart? What pain do you need to deal with? Because of what you've been through, it's valid pain, but give it to God. You need to give your pains to God. You need to give your fears to God. You need to give your hurts to God. You need to deal with them things. Give it to God. Talk to someone in this church. There's people in this church that would love to talk to you about the things you're going through. Don't go on a journey on your own. Let's journey with each other, church. Look to the future. Stop looking at your current circumstance, church. And look to the promises of God. Look to what He's got for you. Stop comparing your circumstance. Well, Naomi, it's okay for you. Your life looks pretty good. It's not perfect. It's not. Because life isn't perfect. But my life may look different to yours, but don't compare yourself. My promises are different to the promises God's got for you, and that's okay. Paul, just to close, Paul puts thankfulness and contentment in a beautiful way, and this shows how to live with an attitude of gratitude. He says, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and He truly did. And I know what it is to have plenty. He did. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. That is an attitude of gratitude, church. Because it's not about Paul, it's about Jesus. It's about God. And Paul knew that. You know, I want to be a person that lives with that. And so let's practically apply this, church. Because we could just have a lovely message, a nice message, encouraging, yep, attitude of gratitude, I'm going to go for it. Tomorrow I'm going to thank God, I'm going to worship Him. Then it comes to tomorrow and it's a new day. And things happen and it's not great. And then we complain and we moan. But our attitude speaks to the world, church. This isn't just a nice message for us. This is a message because tomorrow morning, how our attitude is will speak to our neighbours. It will speak when we're on the school run in September. It will speak to the mums or the dads picking up the kids from school. Our attitude will speak to our bosses tomorrow morning. Our attitude will speak to people in this church when we leave this place. But let's have an attitude of gratitude because that will speak. We are to be salt and light, church. And we are to show Jesus in everything. And so this morning, I've said a lot. But I really believe that we needed to practically apply this. Are we okay to sing a song? Or is that, it's 12. If people need to go, that's fine. But I just want to pray that we're going to sing this song in a moment. And I asked Michael to do the song that we sang at the beginning because the words of this song, they start with this. They start with when it comes up. It says, can't go back to the beginning. Can't control what tomorrow will bring. And that's true, church. But I know here in the middle is the place where you're promised to be. And church, some of us, we just need to worship God right now. We do. We need to. We need to apply this and say, God, I'm coming with You thanksgiving. Whatever. I can't control where I've been. I can't control what I've been through. But God, I need to be in the place where Your promises will be. That's what we need to do. Because we're not enough unless God comes. We need God first. Look to God. If you need to deal with some things in your heart and you want some prayer this morning, we can pray with you. If you want to come forward for prayer, that's fine. If you don't, that's cool. If you need to pray with someone, come and see Lisa, Andy, Becky, myself, anyone. We'll pray for you in this song. Or if you just need to worship Jesus, abandon yourself because it's not about us. It's all about Him. Let's do that, church. Let's look forward to the future. And can we live with an attitude of gratitude right now? Can I invite us to stand? And Michael's going to lead us in this song. Like I said, if you need to worship, you worship. If you need prayer, come and pray, you know, for the things that may be hurting you right now. But let's really apply this message and let's live with an attitude of gratitude this morning, church.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.